Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dun, 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 dun. For many of us, particularly those of my generation, this is a very familiar theme. While we didn't watch a lot of TV at my house growing up, this was a can't miss for both my parents and grandparents. The show was a thriller. Every minute had you on the edge of your seat. The opening scene and the opening theme song started with a long tone and a match was struck. And then what appeared to be a fuse, although in pretty simple 1960s graphics, was lit. And the sparkling fuse would burn across the screen while scenes of dangers and close brushes with death from previous episodes would play in the background. Then a later movie series came out with Tom Cruise. The suspense and cutting-edge technology used had another generation awed and captured. The iconic theme song and opening sequence, however, remained the same 30 years later. Dun, 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 dun. Always, the lit fuse ended with the title of the show that came on the screen, Mission Impossible. In reading our text this week, I imagined a same similar opening sequence. In our gospel, Jesus is playing out the scenes of his ministry with the disciples in this last farewell address. He knew he had trained them, given them all the necessary tools and teachings. And now he was departing and giving the great commission, the mission to his disciples of then and of now. Mission impossible? The mission impossible by the world's view. The mission to tell the whole world of the news of Christ. So your mission, church, should you choose to accept it, is to be the church. I know this week, churches throughout the United States were commanded, demanded to open. Let me tell you something. The church never closed. Never. Never in my life, never in the life and the ministry of Jesus, or in the lifetime of his apostles, did the church reside in a building built just for that purpose. Let me say that again. Never in the life and ministry of Jesus, or in the lifetime of his apostles, did the church reside in a building built just for that purpose? Most believers of the way, which is what they called Christianity in the first century, were banned from the temple, pagan or Jewish, or even their local synagogue due to their belief in Christ. They had to find new, innovative, first century ways to gather. This new way to minister for and with one another, this telling of the good news to the far corners of the earth, this new mission, this new way, which began with less than 20 people in a rented upper room, would transform the world so completely that even time itself would be measured by that transformation. I know we brag about the new 21st century technology and all of the advances that we've made, but think for a minute. Those living in the first century, those who were never bound by a building or borders, would begin a paradigm shift so great that everything before them would be known as BC or BCE. Again, time itself would be measured by future generations due to the transformative, world-changing, paradigm-shifting ministry of a simple carpenter of Nazareth and his handful of disciples. Think about it. Every time someone writes the date 2020, no matter their belief or unbelief, no matter the religion they practice or lack thereof, the very writing of this date is an acknowledgement of the change brought by Jesus to the entire world and the mission he left the church, his body on earth. This all accomplished not only without buildings, but without television, internet, modern transportation, and satellite communications. Tom Cruise and the MI team ain't got nothing on that one. And folks worried about whether they can get back to church in a building? This week, we celebrate the ascension of Christ. That is the time when the resurrected Christ was taken bodily up to heaven in the clouds. After the resurrection, he spent the next 40 days with the disciples, teaching them, giving them last-minute instructions, telling them what his death and resurrection meant to the world. And those instructions were, go. He said, go. Go out, be witnesses to the earth. That is our mission. And it is possible. And it's for all of us, because this mission is personal. We are called by name, just like Theophilus. You see, Luke knew, or he hoped that hundreds, thousands, millions of people would read this book of Acts, but he wrote it personally as if to a friend, because the mission is personal. We are called by name. If you're old enough to remember the old Mission Impossible TV series, or even the fairly new movie series with Tom Cruise, you might remember how the show started after the opening credits. It started pretty much the same way each time. The leader of the team would go to some location where there would be a key. That key would open a drawer or a safe or even a phone box. How he knew each time where this key was beyond me. But then the narration, it would be a tape or a recording. They would play it and it would say, "Good morning, Mr. Phelps." This mysterious voice, no matter what, would always call them by name. And this mysterious voice, whom no member of the Mission Impossible or MI team ever laid eyes on, knew the leader by name. The mission would be told, and the tape would self-destruct. It was all very mysterious and anonymous, except they knew them by name. There would be all kinds of dire warnings, but it was clear this mission was for no one else except the MI team. In just the same way, Jesus is not saying to wait for someone else more qualified, who has more technology, a better internet connection, or training before you fill this mission. Jesus is giving the disciples, is giving us by name this mission. It is our mission. And our mission is lived through, not completed by some deadline. Jesus was clear when the disciples asked him when the mission would end. "It's not for you to know," he said. We are simply to live the mission daily in every aspect of our lives. These instructions would be carried out through and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, God with us every step of the way. This first assignment, these instructions were to be lived out, not just part of a checklist to be checked off and wait for the next mission. This is the assignment. This is the mission and the way of life until the complete transformation of the world. And this is where the similarity changes a bit from the Mission Impossible team to our Mission Possible team, to our instructions from Christ. For there's no self-destructing tape or warning that we're on our own. Quite the opposite. We are given a partner to live this mission through in the Holy Spirit. This is our lifelong task, this mission, these instructions. Go out into the world and witness. Live as you want others to see the living Christ. As Methodist Christians, this understanding is quite different than some of our other Christian siblings. We do not practice the relatively new theory of dispensationalism, where Jesus will only come when the world is so depraved and there's no hope. I believe that Jesus comes again and again in our lives, and that we, as the body of Christ, are to work this mission to transform the world, to build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Then the promise of a new heaven and earth are fulfilled, become one, if we truly live out our mission to transform the world into disciples of Jesus Christ. We are bringing about that kingdom in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And this cannot possibly be accomplished by what the church, and I mean church with a big C, what the church has now become. We are challenged now to break the confines of our 1 hour on Sunday morning among those we know, sitting in our comfortable pews, singing our familiar songs behind the closed doors of a rarely used building. We must be committed to our mission to be the church each and every day in all we do. Then our mission becomes our own transformation, the church's transformation, and our gathering on Sunday morning becomes just a part, a celebration of all that we do all of the other days. For through the Holy Spirit, we are transformed to be living witnesses throughout our mission. But let me tell you, this mission takes patience in seeing the results. It takes time and patience. Jesus was with Peter for 3 years, and Peter still kept messing up. Even after he watched Jesus be taken up into heaven in the clouds, did you know that Jesus still had to come back to Peter in a dream and tell him, "You just don't get it, Peter. All means all." But Jesus loved Peter just as Jesus loves us. And he kept the relationship, and Peter eventually got it, although our tradition tells us that he was still rather rough around the edges, even all the way to the end. It takes patience, and we don't always see the difference we make. I know we get frustrated sometimes and wonder, are we doing any good here at all? We can have a well-attended, wonderful event and wonder why our church isn't full the next week. Yes, it takes patience, and sometimes we can't see the Spirit at work right away, but it's there, and we trust. And above all, we stay on our mission, because the mission requires that we know who we live in always. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You don't have to have some great theological perspective or memorize the statements of faith and doctrine by heart. You have to know Jesus. Live in Jesus. Have the light of Jesus in your heart and bring that light to others. Life is less like a one-person sprint and more like a relay race. Just bring the light to the next person. That's our mission, instructions. Let God do the rest. And trust and have the patience that God will. For we abide in God, and God in us. Through the Holy Spirit, this mission becomes not only possible, but gloriously possible. Jesus promises us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is the promise in the scripture. There are times when I can almost hear the words of Christ, sometimes even with your very voices, especially this week. Don't worry, Lisa. I got this, and I got you. So if we do nothing else, can we be that voice of a loving Christ for someone? Can we do it today? Because the mission requires urgency in its application. So while we do need patience in seeing the results, we need a sense of urgency to the instructions at hand. But I find that I'm often like the apostles. Jesus gives me a set of clear instructions and a mission, and I just stand there, looking up with my mouth hanging open. You know, I get invitations every week from one of the hundreds of prayer groups across the city. And I know our city needs prayer, but it needs action. And while we need time for quiet conversations with God, we also need prayer as movement, prayer with feet. Prayer as something woven into the fabric of our lives. It's why we weave it throughout the service, accept it as part of the flow, not something we do. You'll hear me often after a song say, amen, which is simply, so be it, so that becomes part of our prayer. Something we breathe, that we live. Let me tell you, a prayerful state of mind while cleaning out a storm drain or serving a community meal does more good than a bunch of preachers gathering for 5 hours only to set another meeting as the entire goal of the prayer meeting. We need to adore the risen Christ, lift our hands in praise and adoration to the living God, but standing there with empty hands, without using those hands to reach out to our neighbors, is not the adoration God seeks. Lift your hands to God. Raise your eyes to heaven. But use those hands to work for the kingdom and those eyes to see the suffering around you and be a witness for Christ, a real witness. And we are to live the love of Jesus and bring that to our neighbors and family. Not with hatred and shouting and signs and picketing. Do you think people want to be a part of that? I often hear we should bring people to Jesus. How about bringing Jesus to people? Offer them Christ, is what John Wesley says. And because of that, and when we do that, we do that because we know our mission is possible. I do not believe for one minute that God caused the misery of COVID-19 and the death and isolation that has come with it. I do believe that if we are faithful to our mission, that it is possible to be the body of Christ in the midst of a pandemic. We must accept our mission. It can be an opportunity to begin just as those disciples did 2,000 years ago, to begin a new era, to put away our comfortable complacency and bring Jesus to a hurting world. Maybe we won't get to meet all together at 317 Termino each Sunday for a long time. But maybe we can begin 20, 30, 100 new small house church gatherings where we invite, as we are allowed to, our expanded social isolation circles to experience the love of Christ with us. And you know, your expanded circle could simply be a Facebook group that you invite to join you. Maybe by practicing radical love in a world filled with anxiety, we can fulfill our mission to love our neighbor as ourselves. Maybe we can find new ways to minister with the marginalized, the first responders, the frontline workers, to bring the love of Christ to them instead of insisting it can only be found confined to stained glass and comfortable pews. This is our urgent task. And even Jesus knows us so well that he knew we wouldn't really hear him the first time he said it. Go, he said, be witnesses, build the kingdom. Yes, there are some things you don't know yet, and some things you will have to wait on, but go. Tell others what you have seen and experienced. Go and love. But I guess the disciples had what often my kids and my husband have. SDD, selective deafness disorder. Because what did they do? They just stood there. The very risen Christ had just been taken up into the clouds before their very eyes and gave them some pretty specific instructions for this mission. But they just stood there looking up. I love the almost elbow poke the angels give. What are you doing just looking at the clouds? You know he's coming back. Go! Outside your buildings, over the Zoom meetings and the social media platforms. Go! Make disciples in your homes, in your families, among your neighbors, in the farthest reaches of the earth. Go! Don't be confined by walls. Use every gift at your disposal, including technology, to reach those who never could have been invited to a building anyway. Go! Be a witness for Jesus Christ. Don't just stand there. Know that Christ is there with us. Go! We are not left alone. Go! Live our mission possible. Amen.